Return to the Word of God this morning, to Genesis chapter 24. We'll begin reading at verse 10, and we'll read the rest of this lengthy chapter. Genesis 24, beginning at verse 10. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again unto the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, Thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, Speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, Peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son, of my kindred, and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath, when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well, and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink, and she say to me, Both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels, let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, Let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, Send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that, she shall go. And he said unto them, Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah, and said unto her, Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah, and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Thus far, this passage we've read together will also be the material for the sermon this morning. Beloved congregation, maybe you have experienced in your life a certain chain of events that when you looked back on after, you say, "I couldn't have planned it better myself." Those are special moments, especially when we recognize that the chain of events, as they happened, were planned and carried out by the Almighty One, who guides all things by His providential wisdom and power. Those are times when we realize how small and how weak we really are, how short-sighted we are. Often when we look back at such times, over such events, we think about how we would have done it or how we had intended to do it, and we realize we would have made a big mess of it. As one of Job's friends says, we are of yesterday and know nothing. What reason this is to depend on the Lord who sees everything, who knows the end already from the very outset, the beginning, the one who controls all things. And it is that such a chain of events that we see this morning, and it is also that dependence on God that we see this morning as we follow the servant of Abraham to Mesopotamia. Our theme with God's help is the Lord leads Abraham's servant to bring Rebekah to Isaac. The first, he leads in answer to prayer. Secondly, he leads through amazing providences. And third, he leads into a godly marriage. As I've already said, in this chapter we have this clear example of the Lord's guidance and leading by His providence in the lives of certain people. As the Lord is guiding this servant to a wife for Isaac in response to Abraham's request, we can ask, why? Why does the Lord lead in this remarkable, providential way? And as we think about that question, certain answers may come to mind, perhaps because it was His will that Isaac should be married and that so the covenant line should be continued, and that's true. Maybe it's because He had made promises to Abraham, and again, that is also true. But there is also something else here. And that is that when Abraham calls his servant in the few verses at the beginning here that we didn't read, and he makes him swear, this shows something, doesn't it? It shows that Abraham had a deep concern for his son. Many parents today have little or no concern for their children. They don't care much for them. They don't monitor the things that they're doing, the places that they go. They don't monitor their internet usage. They don't know what they do with their friends. They don't really care who they marry. They tell them they can pick the religion they want, and nowadays, even pick the gender they want. But not Abraham. He cares as a faithful father. He's concerned for his son. And that means, most of all, that Abraham prayed for his son. And we may not miss this connection to the Lord's providential leading in this chapter. The success of this story is also closely connected with the intercession of Abraham for Isaac. Abraham didn't just get the notion one day that, well, it's about time Isaac got a wife, and so I guess we should get one from Nahor. It'd be the best thing to do. And he didn't do this on a whim. This was the fruit of constant, careful prayer. Abraham bathed every decision he made in prayer. And that's also why the Lord grants success to this plan. So let me ask you, as we think about that, do you pray? Do you bathe the decisions that you make in prayer? Do you look up to God when you're about to do something? Or when you're considering others around you, your children, your loved ones, do you pray for them? Do you in all your ways acknowledge Him? He promises in Proverbs that it's in that way that He will also direct your path. Parents, do you pray for your children? Let us pray very specifically for them, not just generally. That's easy to do, if I can put it that way. Pray specifically for the Lord to work in their hearts by His Holy Spirit to regenerate them, as we'll hope to see this afternoon. Pray that the Lord would guide them and lead them into a specific vocation that is suitable for them, that the gifts that God has given them, and every single one of our children, also in our congregation, in our families, has been given gifts. The Lord would match those gifts to a place of work and a place in this world that would make them useful and blessed citizens of our land. Pray that the Lord would lead them to a godly spouse, a husband or a wife, that He would be busy even now. Maybe your children are young. You could pray for that. That God would be busy preparing a spouse for your little son or daughter, for your teenager, that they may have a blessed marriage. I believe the Lord not only leads Rebekah to Isaac because of Abraham's prayer, but also because of Isaac's prayer. It's a second thought here. By now, Isaac is a grown man. We read in verse 62 that he had moved away from his father at least some distance. And we see in verse 63 that Isaac was a man of prayer. He went out to meditate or to pray in the field at eventide. And it shows that he was in the habit of doing so. And in this particular case, he seems to be doing so in connection with the anticipation of the servant's return with a possible wife for him. He commits these things to the Lord in prayer. And again, we can say that the Lord leads Rebekah to Isaac also in answer to Isaac's own prayer. Young people, are you like Isaac? Are you young men of prayer, young women of prayer? Do you pray for your future? Do you pray for the Lord to guide you through your life? You may use very simple, plain English to ask the Lord these things. We need not use all sorts of special theological language. You can lay these things before the Lord and tell Him with your mouth. Work them out in your mind as you're praying to Him, Lord. I don't know what I'm supposed to be when I get older. Lord, I don't know who I'm to marry when I get to that age. But Lord, it's all known to Thee. Lord, guide me. Keep me from making mistakes, Lord. Help me to make wise decisions. Protect me. Guide me through this life. That's what Isaac did. The best and really the only way in which you can get through life, depending on the Lord, looking to Him. But now thirdly, and this also comes closer to the text, we also see that the Lord leads Rebekah to Isaac in response to the servant's prayer. The scriptures skip over the trip that he makes, and we find him in verse 11 at a well outside the city of Nahor, Abraham's brother. And notice what the servant does. He does something that I dare say is very uncommon, even today. We would have gone knocking. Hello, I'm Abraham's servant. Do you know Nahor? What does he do? He gets to the well, kind of a central meeting place for the locals, and he stops. He folds his hands, you could say, and he begins to pray. He specifically asks God for a sign that the young lady, that he would ask for water, would not only agree to do so, but would also take it upon herself to water all his camels. We might say, well, that seems a little bold. I mean, if we were to do that today, wouldn't that be bold? It may even seem presumptive on the part of this servant. But don't forget, congregation, this man had bound himself to an oath. He was on a very serious mission. And we might say, how was he to know that any of the women who might come out of the city at all would be suitable for Isaac? Well, he didn't. But he did know that God knew. And he also knew that the Lord would guide him. And if he was in the wrong place, then he believed that none of the women would offer to water his camels. Well, the question may come up, why did he ask for this? Specifically, the watering of the camels. Well, very simply, because this would have been a revelation for him of her character. This was a practical test. It wouldn't only tell him that this particular individual would be the one he was looking for, it would also confirm for him that she would be suitable for life in Isaac's tent, where a lot of hard work was involved. This man was the overseer of all of Abraham's goods, and he knew what was required. All the work that had to take place, and he showed very practical wisdom here. And to bring it, to help us understand this a little bit, we don't use camels today, but this particular task of watering these camels was ideally suited to help him gauge her work ethic, if you will, her diligence. Camels drink around 25 gallons of water after a long journey. It takes them about 10 minutes to drink that amount. If you think that a normal watering jar might have held maybe 3 gallons of water, this girl would have been going back and forth to the well, according to his proposition, 80, 90, maybe even 100 times. It would have shown him who this girl is and what kind of person she is. Well, in asking this, he binds himself and he commits himself, he commits his way to the Lord, and he asks the Lord to direct and to guide and to lead him. And that is what, again, we all are called to do. Think of Psalm 37, where the psalmist writes, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And the Lord marvelously works in this chapter in answer to his prayer by amazing providences, which we see in our second point. First, we see it in the timing of this answer. We read in verse 15 that before he had done speaking. Isn't that remarkable? He's praying, and he's not even done praying yet when out of the city comes Rebekah. I think of that verse in Isaiah 65 where he says, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. God is fulfilling that in this man. Even before Isaiah speaks it, it speaks of God's willingness to hear and to grant our petitions. When we pray to Him, we are to keep in mind that God is desirous to hear and answer our petitions. We're very prone to doubt this. To think, well, I can pray, but what's the use? Because God's not really willing. We have to kind of, reverently speaking, then twist God's arm to make things happen. But that's not true. That's what the devil would have you to believe. The devil always wants to make the Lord look stingy and look like a grudging God who just barely gives and okay, fine. No, the Lord is good and good to all. He freely gives. He gives to all men liberally, James says. Oh, the Lord is more willing to grant our petitions than we are even to ask them. Even while we are yet calling, he says. But encouragement to pray. It's an amazing providence in the timing, how quickly this girl appears, but also secondly, in the thoroughness of this answer. The servant sees this girl coming to get some water. We read in verse 16 that she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up, indicating that there would have been some stairs leading down to the well area and where the water could be accessed. As she's coming back up these stairs, he runs to meet her, verse 17. And he asks her for a drink. She gives him to drink, and when he's done drinking, notice, she says of her own volition, her own will, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. Notice her specific wording. I will draw water for thy camels also. This is exactly what he had asked the Lord would happen. And she's now committing herself to spending upwards of an hour out of her evening to help a perfect stranger. She has no idea what is about to happen to her in the next couple of hours. Her entire life is going to change, just because she's offered to help this man. She's going up, down these stairs, getting water, up the stairs, pouring it into a trough for camels, up and down, hard physical work. Notice, she doesn't even wait for a response when she says this to him. Verse 20 just continues right on, and she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water. He doesn't even have to say, okay. He doesn't even have to say, are you sure? She just starts doing what he had asked the Lord would happen. Oh, see the Lord answering this servant's request thoroughly, down to every detail. It's no wonder that in verse 21, the man wondered. He stood back in amazement, maybe even trying to hide his astonishment a little bit, waiting to see the completion of the task. He stood there for an hour watching her, just amazed. Would she stop halfway and say, I've got to go, sorry? He patiently waited to see if this girl would do as she said she would do. It specifically said, he held his peace to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. He was watching the Lord's providential outworking before his own eyes. This young lady is working. Children and young people, Rebecca has something very important to teach you this morning. That is to be diligent and to be willing to work. Sometimes that's something that you may not be so inclined to do. When daddy asks you to clean the car, or when mommy asks you to please clear the table, do you ever complain? Do you ever resist? Or do you ever say, not right now, or not this time, I'm so busy, mom? What does Rebecca teach you this morning? She shows us a good character. And I know that's not natural to us. By nature, we are lazy. We can be selfish. But we need to see, if we're going to be good citizens of society, if we're going to be good husbands and wives, as Rebecca would go on to be, fathers and mothers, we must be willing to work. We must be diligent in the work we're called to do. And maybe sometimes you do obey mommy, but you only do a half job. That would be like Rebecca pouring maybe 10 pitchers of water and then saying, all right, that must be enough for all your camels. I'll go now. No. She made sure those camels had done drinking and there was still water left in the trough. She was thorough and diligent. Remember that. But then as we go on, there is another providence. The Lord leads this servant on. He gives her these fancy jewels for, as a thank payment, if you will, and he asks her, whose daughter art thou? You can almost hear the tremor in his voice. Who's your dad? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? At that moment, the final missing piece of uncertainty is removed as what she says is music to his ears. I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare to Nahor. The daughter would have, the servant would have known all these names. If we look back together to the end of chapter 22, those last five verses, we didn't cover it earlier, but we can look at it now for a moment. Chapter 22, verse 20 to 24, we read there that a report comes to Abraham just after he had taken Isaac up to Mount Moriah for the sacrifice. This report comes how Milcah had borne children to his brother Nahor. And in that list we read that Bethuel, one of their sons, begat Rebekah. So all these names that she rambles off, if you will, to the servant are sending flags up. He knows these people. He's heard of them. He's heard of the nephew of Abraham, Bethuel, and now also the grandniece, Rebecca, standing before him. And she says to him, you're welcome to stay with us. There's food and lodging enough. And again, what do we see, congregation? We don't see the servant going back to his camels to get them. We don't see him thanking Rebecca or jumping up and down, but we see him bow his head and worship. What a lesson that is for us. Often when we get the thing we asked for, we go on our way rejoicing with nine lepers. We forget to come back with the one to give thanks. It's the part many people forget. They're happy, but they're not thankful. Let us with this servant remember that God also asks that we acknowledge him in all our ways. And then he will direct and also continue to direct our path. With that one leper to return to give glory to God here with this one servant. It's a wonderful thing. It's a blessed thing to do. Because it acknowledges all around that it is God whom you need. Well, then we come to a fourth providence, and that's in the house. We don't have time to get into all the details, but Laban comes and he calls him and he wants to eat. But the servant says, no, no, I am not eating until I've sorted out my business. There are more hurdles to cross. He's convinced that he has found Isaac's future wife, but he can't just put her on a camel and take her away. She belongs to these people. Her father, her brother, her mother, he needs permission. And he doesn't have permission yet. So he tells the story. And they don't interrupt him as we read it together. They're listening to the whole thing. And then he says in verse 49, give me your verdict. Tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Will you agree, after hearing God's providential dealings with me thus far, to let Rebecca come? And what do they say? They say, who is the Lord? What have we to do with Abraham or his God? No, they don't say that. What do they say? The thing proceedeth from the Lord. And at the end of 51, as the Lord hath spoken. What does this tell us? It tells us that these men, they knew and acknowledged the true God. Remember, these men too had left Ur of the Chaldees with Abraham so many years ago, and they had moved together to Haran in obedience to God's call. There in Ur, they had served idols on the other side of the flood or the Euphrates River, as Joshua would later tell the people. And then later, Abraham was called from Haran, and he went on to Canaan. These men stayed behind, and they still serve the true God. Maybe not perfectly, maybe not without idols, as we read later on in Genesis, Rebecca and others. I think of Rachel. She has these idols in her camel saddle bag, if you will, right? That they're using these idols, but they know the true God, that they're serving the Lord. And they agree with the servant, the Lord hath spoken. You can just feel the tension in the story dropping and the servant's shoulders drop. What a relief and what a providence. Oh, he must have thought, truly the Lord has sent his angel before me. Because in verse 52, again, he worshipped the Lord. One commentator pointed out, it's remarkable that from his three prayers, there's an increase in humility and a wonder. His first prayer, he's standing at the well, and that's at verse 10. He stood at this well, and he's praying to God standing. And the second prayer, after Rebecca tells him who she is, he bows his head, but now he bows himself to the earth. This third time, he's on his knees. He's on his knees before the Lord. He's all the way, at least bent over to the earth before this great God of his master Abraham. He's overwhelmed at the goodness of God. The Lord had been so merciful to him. Even the hearts of these men were in the hand of the Lord, and the Lord had paved the way for success. There was no resistance in this household. And we should not underestimate this. This was no light thing, congregation. This was a huge shocker in the lives of Laban and Bethuel and Milcah and Rebekah's mother. The one we love, the one we delight in, this diligent, this hospitable, this lovable, this beautiful daughter and sister of ours. She's got to leave us? It's almost unthinkable. But the Lord opens the door wide and he lands success on the servant's lap as only he can do. It's no wonder he bows himself down and worshipped. Oh, he must have said, I couldn't have planned it better myself. We can return to our introduction for a brief moment. Have you experienced the Lord's providence in some remarkable way? When things took place, you knew this is no coincidence. This is God working on my behalf. Oh, what a gift that is. What an encouragement to trust Him and to love Him and to fear and serve Him all your days. Well, the next morning we meet another providence. The servant wakes up and he gets ready to go, and they say, what? You're leaving already? Please stay longer. Verse 55, and her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us days. Notice the words a few are in italics. at least 10. And what they meant was 10 months, a long time. Let her stay here for a while at least. But he says, no. I can't wait around here that long. My master Abraham might die. My master Isaac needs a wife. I want to go back. I need to be home. And so they ask Rebecca. And this time it's her heart that is turned by the Lord. Oh, it would have been tempting for her to stay with her loved ones and to all that was familiar to her for these months, these days and days on end. It would have offered her some time to spend with her mother and father and siblings. This would have been a hard decision for her. She could have said, well, 10 days then, a week. But as they ask her those stark, those memorable words often preached on at a wedding, wilt thou go with this man, she says. One word in the Hebrew, elek. I'll go. She doesn't argue. She doesn't deliberate. She doesn't say, give me an hour. She just says, I will go. And again, it's testimony of the Lord's providence in leading all things. And they send her off with the blessing of verse 60, which remarkably, unbeknownst to them, echoes God's blessing to Abraham, and they're off. And this takes us to our third point, that the Lord leads Rebecca to Isaac into a godly marriage. As we look at the last six verses of this chapter, what stands out is that there's no mention of Abraham. Where is he? We don't read any more of Abraham in this chapter. And there's just a few more verses in the next chapter and his life story ends. Well, he was there. But the Holy Spirit keeps him out. As our attention is drawn now to the covenantal development that is taking place, the covenant propagates through the generations. Seems the message is that the covenant doesn't terminate on Abraham. It's not all and only about Abraham. The story is shifting to Isaac. God's plan of redemption is progressing. God's plan of redemption, the outworking of his covenant promises, moves forward, and it does so through all the scriptures until it ends in Jesus Christ. In him, this covenant is fulfilled. And so as we draw near to the end of Abraham's life, and we hope to consider that next week, Lord willing, let us not end in Abraham, congregation, but in the God of Abraham, and in the seed of Abraham, ultimately Jesus Christ. And in this passage, as it is developed in the marriage of Isaac and Rebekah, well, God leads them into a godly marriage. Let's briefly look at four ways in which that marriage was godly, as gleaned from these verses. First, it was a marriage marked by prayer. Isaac is there in the field to meditate, to pray. And as we already said, he's doing so most likely in anticipation of a possible bride for him. We sense that even in the end of verse 63, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camel. We're coming. The anticipation is there in the text. The camels are coming. Will they be carrying a bride for me? He's been praying. And that prayerful posture continued, no doubt, through his marriage. Let us also, congregation, water our marriages with prayer, like Isaac. It's a mark of a godly marriage. The second, it was an honoring marriage. As Rebecca and the servant approach, she asks him, "Who's this man coming out to meet us?" And he says, "It is my master," meaning not Abraham, Isaac. And then Rebecca shows honor, humility, and respect as she places a veil over her face, the cultural symbol of respect, of honor, and she dismounts to meet Isaac. Very, very honoring. It's also what the apostle writes, doesn't he, in Ephesians chapter 5. He speaks of the wife is called to honor her husband. It's a sign, the mark of a godly marriage. The third, it was a loving marriage. We read, Isaac loved her, verse 67. So simple, isn't it? So obvious, almost. Marriage is to be loving, is it not? And yet, in this fallen, broken, hurting, sinful world, how often are there not loveless marriages or loveless moments, loveless days, loveless weeks in marriages? Husbands, do you love your wives? There's a lot in that question. Let us take it to heart what the apostle says in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it in a self-sacrificial way to love your wife. Oh, it runs against our flesh, husbands. But we read here that Isaac loved her and all that that entails. Fourthly, it was a godly marriage in that it provided a place of rest and respite and comfort also for Isaac. We read he was comforted after his mother Sarah's death. Rebecca added something amazing and beautiful to his life. Her presence brought cheer, not only then in contrast to his loss, but in all the ways of his life, as the scriptures say, she shall do him good and not evil all the days of her life. As we'll sing in a few moments, in thy wife thou shalt have gladness. She shall fill thy home with good. Maybe someone is racing ahead. And you think, but that marriage wasn't so godly in a few years. You're right. Trouble would brew also in Isaac's tent. Think only of the time when he would favor Esau and Rebekah favored Jacob. What collusion, what working against each other there was in those years. It's due to sin. Sin that's also present in our lives. Trouble in marriages is because of our sin. And we need God's abiding and forgiving grace. Congregation, husbands, wives, we need the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to wash away sins also of marriage. By his grace, Isaac and Rebecca, and we too in our marriages are called to strive to live in a godly marriage, prayerful, honoring, loving, comforting. Why? Well, you say, because it's God's will. Yeah, but also because it's a picture, isn't it, of the marriage between Christ and his bride, his church. That's the beauty, the beautiful picture in marriage. It's like a little mirror reflecting that grand marriage union between Christ and his people. Let us seek in our marriages to be a faithful witness to the love of the Lord Jesus for his bride, the church. Well, as we close, let us think again of those words in Proverbs, which ring over this passage: in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This servant was doing that. He was trusting in the Lord with all his heart. He wasn't leaning unto his own understanding as he's stepping through the doors the Lord opened for him. He's doing so prayerfully and looking to the Lord to work. May God grant that we would learn from it and learn to trust in this God who works by his providence. And learn to expect all things from him for our bodies and also for our souls. Only for the sake of his Son, the coming Son of Isaac, who for us has come, who has given his life on the cross to pay for sin, to reconcile sinners to the Father, so that he may guide them by his counsel and afterward receive them to glory by his grace. Amen.